Good morning. 00 hours. Partly cloudy. 72 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Mostly clear. 71 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Mostly clear. 72 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Partly cloudy. 72 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Clear. 71 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Mostly clear. 70 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Mostly clear. 70 degrees.
Good morning, everybody. WARCY.
Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 70 degrees.
W8FU. So did you get your switch transferred? I did. A little bit more work than I thought, but it always is. But not too bad. So the new one's ready to go. And then I'm moving back to the, used to be back at the garage. Now I'm moved into the house. And the gas line is still back to the garage. And I can't quite make the gas line with the extension cord I got and get it plugged in. So, always something. N8NM. So now you gotta move the gas line? Yeah, but that was always kind of a plan. I was gonna put everything right up in the back of the house. I just thought I could try it yesterday after I went through all the trouble of swapping out my manual transfer switch. I thought I could try it, but it's like, ooh, can't quite make to the gas line. I can get some propane, just run it that way. NADBF. Ever since I put mine in, I have not had to use it. So hopefully yours is a similar case. I was telling Steve here yesterday or the day before when I was doing this, the way to guarantee you won't have a power outage is to buy a brand fancy Skippy new generator. But he doesn't have much problems up his way, so where does that fit in the grand scheme of things?
You know, after we talked about that the other day, I kind of jogged some memories. I did put in some provisions for it when I built the shed. My thinking was putting a permanently mounted one back there. But I don't remember what all I did. I might have the... No, I wouldn't have the wiring. No, because I have a single 30 amp going out there. I'll have to look and see what I did. I remember doing something just in case I ever wanted to add a generator, though. God, I can't believe it's been, what, almost 25 years since I put that tower in the shed back there. Jeez, oh man.
Sorry, we doubled. Did you maybe run 12-3 and not use the red?
That's quite possible.
Well,
I think it's 10, because I run a welder out there, so I did run a 30 amp, and I think that was 10 gauge. That might be exactly what I did, because it's big.
We doubled again. Dakota, what do you got up there? Is it a whole house or a portable? And how do you jack it in?
It's just a portable with the transfer switch. I forgot what I bought I want to say it's the Vivor kit, whatever, from Home Depot. It's probably not the best, but should be fine. So I got it right next to my driveway, right where my meter is. And I ran a 3 foot maybe piece of 10-3 into the panel because it's right there. So that worked out really well. And then the generator, I can wheel it 10 feet out of the garage and start it. So that's why I haven't really done anything else, because I haven't used it yet, and if I do have to use it, it's pretty damn convenient. I can run the whole house minus the air.
You got one of them ones, like a load size, you have to pick, you know, how many circuits you want powered?
On the panel side or the generator?
On the panel, you know, they've got the service size, service rated, that go before your box, and then they've got the load size, which is what I have, where you pick, you know, any number of circuits in the house you want to power.
I'll have to look. I don't remember what amp breaker I put in, but it's a two-pole, and all it is a back feed. I don't even have the, I forgot what the hell it's called. And so you can't have both on at the same time. My electrician and I have been meaning to do that, but I know better and he knows better, and my wife's never going to touch it. That's really the only reason, so you don't backfeed the line. But no, mine's just a throw two-pole in the panel, so kill everything else, including the main, and then I flip that.
Right, okay. Yeah, I had a 220 breaker available in my panel that I could have done that, but I went out and I got a, what's called a load side, or you go in your box and you pick, you know, X number of circuits. In my case, I had a 6, now I got a 10, so I don't even know, I got 3 of them just wrapped up waiting to decide what I need, because really 6 was all I really needed. Hell, my house had a 60-amp service with four fuses before I put in the new box, and I think I way overdid it. I think I've got at least a couple, 3 more circuits that I really need. I don't know. Shade tree electrician. Steve?
Yeah, had kind of that situation here until I started putting in basement lighting, and I used up my extra circuits, but it was more a matter of convenience than having to for any kind of code reason.
I don't think you can ever go too big when it comes to electrical. My old house had a relocated panel from when they refreshed it from fuses. And then I had a sub-panel in my garage that was fuses because the garage was detached at one point. I don't even remember what amperage that panel was, but it wasn't enough because the air would kick on and the whole house would brown out. And then this house, night and day, my panel's labeled correctly, and it's a 200-amp panel, so I've got plenty of room to play with, and that's why I'm, you know, that's why I put the two pole 220 in there, just so I have the capability to add more if I need to. I've got plenty of room, and the whole house, I mean, everything's LED. The only thing, my stove is gas. I mean, the microwave would be the only questionable thing, which it should run okay. And then I don't think it'll run the air, but it'll run the furnace.
What size
generator? Yeah. Honestly, I cannot remember. I think it's an 8,000, maybe a 10,000.
All right, you get around that 5,000 area, and you can run most everything. That's where you're going to have to, you know, maybe, you know, consider turn something off to run something else. You might have trouble with coffee makers, microwaves, things like that, in that 5,000 range. You're right on the cusp of being able to do some of the hard stuff. No air conditioning, of course. And, of course, that depends on how many motors. If you've got a sump pump, you know, if you've got, you know, multiple freezer refrigerators and, you know, things like that, you know, they all have motors and stuff. So 5K is going to be, you know, I've got a 4K and it runs, you know, pretty much everything in my house, but I can't use the microwave or coffee maker, and the air is out of the question. Then you move up to that, you know, like 7,500 plus or minus, you know, 7,000 to 10,000. Now you can run pretty much your whole house, and then, you know, the question becomes, you know, can I sneak the air in? And, you know, you might be able to, depending on a few things, probably, you know, if you're up around 8, 9K, probably. So I got, mine will run about 6K on natural gas, like 6, 7, 8 or something like that, 8K on gas, 9,000 surge, like so it's all I need. Probably not going to put the air on it, but it'll run everything else. And I was pretty happy with my 4K, so, and that was on gas, so who knows what that 4K was actually doing, you know, on natural gas. 35 tops.
Let's see if I got it. Yeah, Beth, you know, when we did have problems, and we had the little, it was a Honda 3K at the shop, and I'd grab that if it was just sitting in the back room and nobody was using it, and run the house field day style with extension cords, but that would run the fridge, the sump pump, TV. I don't think I ever pushed it any harder than that. That was just, it was either a 3 or a 3500. Nice little generator, super quiet.
My old house, my neighbor would let me borrow his little Honda 3K, and that thing was impressive. I'd run my fridge, my freezer, both the lights, I mean, pretty much anything except for appliances. And Sean, I just looked it up. It's a 7,500. 7,500, I think, surge or peak or whatever, like 62-something running. So it'll do, like I said, it'll do most of the house, minus the bigger stuff, which I got fans and whatever. So it's basically to keep water out of the basement, which luckily hasn't happened yet, and keep the lights on and the fridge cold.
Yeah, once you keep the refrigerators and freezers on, and you've got a furnace blower motor, you know, you got a sump pump, you got that. Once you got those things, everything else after that becomes a luxury. Now, I consider having my internet and my workstation, you know, my area, and then my wife's entertainment area lit to be kind of, that's not a big tax, but getting those lit was kind of important. You know, just sitting around staring at the ceiling, So that's what I do. And, you know, no air. I live about that. And we were up till now living without, like, coffee. And we percolated, so it was kind of fun. Like, oh, look, we're going camping. Let's perch some coffee. But this new one should be able to run the microwave and, you know, make coffee and stuff like that. So I might even try the air on it just to see. I'll have to get a soft start for it, but it'd be interesting to see if I could, if I needed to, or if I wanted to. Ah, well. And 3K, yeah, 3K I'll do, you know, pretty much that. And you can get a nice closed-frame inverter Honda for a fortune, but, you know, they're quiet, power's really clean, and that'll run your pump, your fridge, you know, all the furnace, blower motor if you have it wired in. That's why a little load side panel is really nice, because, you know, you just got one cord to jack it in, usually on the outside of the house, and then you just go, you know, click, 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 and click those three critical circuits in. So, pretty easy. I've got a six circuit one that is now a surplus to my needs, if you're interested. See if I got it. Warren's disconnected, Sean, just so you know. I don't know where we're at in the rotation, my bad. You'll have to tell me what you're talking about with the load side thing, because mine, I got a 30-amp plug on the outside of the house. I think it's, I don't know what it is. It's like the camper-style plug. Plugs into the generator, plugs into the wall, and it goes right into my panel. And then I can just use my panel to control whatever. Yeah, tell me what you're talking about. I'm curious now. Yeah, I've got a PoE injector coming for Warren today, so when I get it, I'll go replace it, and that should get that back online. But a load side, you know, panel is, you know, it's a manual. Usually they just call them manual breaker, you know, or transfer panel, and that's what you'll generally see, although I think that's a pretty generic term for something that's a little bit more specific. What it is it's a small little panel off the side of your main panel. And it'll have, you know, anywhere from, well, I've seen them as small as 4 to, 10, 12 breakers, you know. And what you do is you just put that thing into your main breaker panel, and then each of the wires is labeled AA. There's a red A and a black A. There's a red B and a black B. And you basically pull the wire out of the circuit, you know, you find the breaker to your refrigerator. Pull the wire out, wire nut it to black A, and then take red A and put it where that was you pulled that from. It's that simple. Now, over on the little transfer panel, that's where you jack in your generator, and there's a switch for each circuit. And one way is off the mains, out of the box, and then if you flip it the other way, it'll take the power from the generator. And you pick as many circuits as the box you buy. It's very safe, very effective, and it utilizes switches, you know, 15 to 20 amp switches that switch each individual circuit from, you know, in or out.
Are you still here?
You guys carry on. I'm just going to listen for a bit.
All right, I just wanted to make sure I'm not stepping on you. NADBF. Yours sounds much safer than mine. Mine sounds a little Wild West. Like I said, we don't even have the, I forgot what the hell he called it. I'm an IT guy. It's like a switch, so you can only turn on one at a time. If you turn on the main, you can't turn on the generator breaker and vice versa. But I can see where yours plays safety a little bit more than mine does, where kind of turn stuff on and see what happens.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. It's called a, you know, just back feeding the box, and it's not, you know, it's not code, and you know, it's dangerous. But you know the caveats. I'm not here to preach about that. But to do it correctly, you'd have to have some sort of a transfer switch. Now you can have a whole box transfer switch. Some boxes have transfer switches built right in. And what you're talking about is an interlock. so that you can't throw the bat feed one unless the main one is off. And if you throw that little bat feed plate in there, and if your box supports it, it's pretty simple. It's basically just a plate that you can't close the back feed breaker until you turn off the main breaker. That allows the plate to drop down into the space where the handle used to be, and then it gives you room to turn on the other. So the breakers have to be like opposite one another or near one another so that you can have that lockout, you know, device do its thing. So if your box supports a lockout, I would do that in a heartbeat. You know, my box doesn't support it, so there's nobody makes one for my box, so I got to kind of do the other way. And I thought about buying another box and just redoing the whole service entrance and all that, but I found this load side breaker panel box, brand new in the box for a couple hundred bucks, and I just said, screw it, I'm going to do that.
That's what it's called, interlock. I've got a square D panel, so I'm sure they make it. He said it's like $20, and we haven't done it yet. And I haven't needed it, so it's been out of sight, out of mind. But I'll remind them before we get into the fall here where those fun things start to happen again.
Yeah, it doesn't change anything about the operation except for you won't be able to backfeed unless the main is killed. And so that's what it does. Just does not allow you to turn the main on while the two units are interlocked. So pretty straightforward. And that I believe then needs code. So you're exactly what you're doing, just interlocked. And and like you said, just you're the only one, so you know. I mean, could you screw up? Sure, you could. You know, it's not likely, but if your wife ever had to go do it, you know, that would ensure that she didn't. You know, so that's all it is. But you know, if you ever have somebody come in and take a look, that'd be the saver. They'd say, okay, this, we're okay with this.
Wasn't you making mention of that on last week when you were talking about it? I forget how you said that.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the cheater cords. This isn't exactly a cheater cord. This is a little different. But same principle, backfeeding.
Well, that's the way
and it's ultimately to protect the linesmen. So if
it gets
they're working on the line, I'm not backfeeding up to them.
You guys doubled, but Jeff is referring to last week when I was talking about reverse feeding a panel. I don't know what phrases I used, but I have a rather strong opinion about it, so that's what I'm sure what he's referring to.
I get a welder plug in the garage, and that's how I run it, but I'm the only one that does it, so... Nobody else knows how to even start the generator, so it is what it is.
We got a couple projects this winter that I'm going to have him over for, so we'll knock that out while he's there anyway.
Uh-huh. There you go. See, Jeff, my mission is accomplished. I've made you feel guilty about it. So that's all I can hope for. And I'm here, so I got to get parked and get inside.
Yeah, you are right, Sean. I mean, you can put an interlock thing in the fuse panel, and then as long as you got the right configuration on the end of the generator that doesn't expose the pins to the cord where somebody could electrocute themselves, that's really all that matters, but... like I said, I'm the only one who can even start the generator or get it out, so I'm not too worried about that, but probably should be a little bit more. Have a good day, Sean. Keep it up there.
Have a great day, gentlemen. I'll talk to you later. NABBF. All righty. Catch everybody later. W8FU.
When's the POE supposed to arrive?
Go.
Give me a cigar.
Good morning, 0800 hours, partly sunny, 75 degrees. Good morning, 0900 hours, mostly cloudy, 76 degrees. Good morning, 1000 hours, sunny, 78 degrees.
KD8OSD.
Good morning, 1100 hours. Mostly cloudy. 82 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours, mostly cloudy, 84 degrees.
WACD Mobile.
Yo, yo, I'm eating my Halo burger.
Sounds good. I'm going to get my dollar cup of coffee, and then I got a 1 o'clock Zoom meeting. Zoom, Zoom, Zoom.
There you go. Where do you get the dollar cup of coffee?
Mondays at Big B. I don't know if it's the Big B's everywhere, but it's the Big B's here in Baltimore. It's a dollar for a large.
Can't beat that with a stick. All right, I just wanted to say hi. I'm stuffing my face with Halo Burger. They opened the new one here at, not 19 in Garfield, Canal in Garfield, next to the McDonald's. They opened a Halo Burger. So today was the grand opening. Paul and I went there.
Is it any good? Is it worth it?
Well, yeah, it's Halo Burger, man.
Okay, then. Enjoy it. We'll have to try it. Talk soon. You guys have a good day working. W-A-B. Tell Paul I said hello.
All righty, we'll do. Yeah, Halo Burger is a favorite. Family-owned out of Flint. They ventured down here once before some years ago, but it wasn't family. It was like franchise. And they failed because they were doing things wrong. This one's family, and they opened it down here. And so I've been waiting for it anxiously. Hopefully it does really well, and they consider opening some more. But this one works for me at work, that's for sure. All right, anyhow, back to my burger. Got the olive burger. W8FQ.
W8FU from W8RC1.
Yes, sir.
I just now took my first bite of an actual Culver's Butterburger, and I am impressed. First time ever, as old as I am, I finally had my first Culver's burger, Butterburger, and it's good, since you guys are talking burgers.
Oh, yeah, yes, they are. They're supposed, you know, just a cut above. It's still fast food, but it's a cut above. Yeah, the double butter burger with cheese. Oh, you get a deluxe or with cheese or what? They got a pretty good menu, too. So, anyhow, enjoy.
I wasn't going to eat with my mouth full, but, yeah, it is quite an impressive burger, but I don't do cheese on burgers. So I had a double burger, pickles, onions, ketchup, stuff like that. That was about it. So, and the fries are really good, too. And all for a really good price. So, yeah, first time. I give it like a 2 thumbs up. All right, I'll let you enjoy your lunch, and I will let you get back to work. Have a good afternoon. W8RCY.
All righty. Enjoy. W8FQ.
WDAKLL, KFHDRC. I got you, Jack. A little bit staticky, though. Not sure if he came back there or not, Jack, but nothing heard. I got a copy on you, Jack, but you're very, very weak, very staticky. Are you picking me up, Jack? WDAKLO. WDAKLO. I can hear you, Jack, but you're cutting out. A little bit better that time. All right, Jack, you must be in a difficult area. We'll catch you later. WDAKLO clear.
Well, I'm on
Yeah, you're just not holding the repeater, Jack.
Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Mostly cloudy. 82 degrees. Updated weather. Special weather statement.
This is W8VIJ calling. Calling any and all stations. W8VIJ. Echoing.
Okay.
That sounds like a familiar call. Is that, I'm not sure if that's Rick. Is that Rick or Tom? Over.
Hi, Greg. It's Rick. You're almost neighbor.
Yeah, how you doing, Rick? Good to hear you on. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just sitting here waiting for the sun to start entering the garage here, that time of the day. And I think we got some, maybe some thunderstorms on the way here. I was looking at the radar, but how are you? And I hope you had a nice weekend. Over.
Yes, sir. I am dumb and hungry as every day. And yeah, I think we're going to get, it kind of looks like we're going to get something anyway. I had a pretty good weekend. I guess I've been retired a while, so just about every day is a weekend for me.
Yeah, same here. I'm not sitting around collecting dust. I'm sure you're not either. I've been pretty active since I retired. Still am. Still doing a lot of things. I want a quality of life. Keep moving. And I don't mind it. I've been blessed with this this life. I got no complaints. Did you do any field day activity, or what did you do? Did you go fishing?
Well, unlike you, I do sit around and collect dust. I got a bunch of medical problems, and the heat just knocks me right out, so I didn't get out and do much of anything. I've been kind of studying up. I've been interested in getting an all-star node, either that or a new barrel for a rifle, so I've been bouncing back and forth on which one I want. Can't make my mind up, so I haven't bought either one yet.
Yeah, very good. I was wondering... So it's a rifle. I wonder what caliber it is. It's not a shotgun. But, yeah, I'm collecting dust. I haven't been doing that at all. I mean, I like relaxing and stuff, but there's always something I'm interested in. I've learned a lot along the way because I had certain interests. As I retire, now free to do it, so I keep doing it. Try to learn as much as I can about a few things. It keeps the brain activity going. But I do not participate in any field day operations. Too busy. I was too busy the last 2 weeks, over.
Yeah, I would have liked to get out there and see some of the setups there. In, I think in 30 minutes he got something like 35 contacts all around the country. I was real impressed. And the caliber of the barrel is 7mm 08. It's basically a 308 neck down to 7mm.
Yeah, okay, thanks for describing it for me. You know, I forgot to tell you that I did work some 6 meters. 6 meter opened up, and I did work some 6 meters. It was really kind of funny, up and down. I was going to check it today, but I had too many things to do, and that's probably too late in the day. But I did make a couple of contacts. I think one of them was the guy working field day. So I gave him my grid number, and he said, what are you, 1A or 1B? Of course, I was an either. I said, 1B. I just figured, I don't care. Give him 1B. I just logged the contact on QRZ, you know, whether he responds to it or not, I don't care. I wasn't doing any activity. I was looking for a QSO. Most people will probably just give you the grid number, because 6 meters is kind of funny. It's, you know, it's open and then it closes, but it really hasn't been much to talk about this year. Over.
Yeah, I heard a couple of people saying 2 meters kind of opened up there, and they were giving quite a distance on 2 meters there. I should have got out and played with that. I do have a 991 atrocity. Everybody calls it an alpha. I call it an atrocity. But I don't have any HF antennas, so I basically stick on the UHF, VHF with that. But, every once in a while, if I hear something about the bands opening up there kind of thing, I'll jump on and cruise the 2 meter. And when I first got the radio there, a couple guys were coming in pretty strong, and I kind of tuned them in there, and it turned out they were in West Virginia. So that was pretty cool. It sounded like they were sitting in a chair next to me.
WHBIG. Well, I take it that you got a QSO in with them. I hope you did. And I meant to say something. You jarred my memory. VHF was open. Sometimes UHF will open too, and I didn't check it. And I was talking to a guy in Cleveland, Ohio, for a while. And that was like a shot across the lake. And then there was another guy I talked to in Windsor, London, Ontario, which is not too bad. I mean, it's a good distance, but I made it to them, so it was open. I took advantage of it. I always look to see if there's a band opening. You get this, you'll get a warning, daytime warning, and then if the night cools down, you get this tropospheric ducting. And that's a good time to get on, start calling on the national simplex frequency. Back to you.
Yeah, London, Ontario, that wouldn't be BE3MMX Mike up there, would it? He's got a pretty good setup up there. He's got a bunch of different band repeaters all kind of linked together there. And every once in a while, I jump up there myself and talk and listen. And if the band's not, if I can't reach it there, I can always hop on Echolink and get there.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, it was simplex. It was on the calling frequency, 146520. It could have been him. I don't know. There's a lot of people that's where they work, and they're running like 400 watts or something like that, and they may be using, I would think they're probably using, probably transmitting on a Yagi antenna. Over.
Simplex, all right, that's a different story. Every time somebody mentions London, Ontario, my mind jumps right to that repeater every time. I don't, for some odd reason, I don't seem to get out very far simplex. I don't really know why. I mean, I can get out as far as to the south. I guess there's a couple hundred foot difference between my place and around the Detroit area. There kind of thing. But, southeast, south, and southwest, I get out quite a ways. But east, west, or north, I don't get out very far, especially if it's a distant place.
Yeah, sorry, Rick. I had something I had to take care of here, if you're still there. But anyway, I'm going to get going. I got to get in and get a bite to eat. Good talking to you. Thanks for coming back to me. I appreciate that. And look forward to the next time. W8DIJ.
Okay, Greg, have a great day, and my pleasure. Take care. W8DIJ, I'll be clear.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Mostly cloudy. 82 degrees. The National Weather Service has cleared all products for our area.
Mulberry tree.
cut down, but that's not high on my priority list. I got the other weed trees, as we call them, taken out from around the power pole and the cable pole. Did that earlier this season.
Sounds good. All right. Well, I got a new radio that came in at home. As soon as I get there, I gotta start playing around with that thing.
Yeah, I just picked up a couple batteries from two older HDs that are front panel programmed, and you know, you can't use soft or anything. And got those working, so I've been messing around with those. Anyway, so I didn't get a chance to hear anything on any of the bands for field day. So, maybe next year.
Yeah, I don't really contest, but it's a good time to try to fill in gaps in, like, you know, all states and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know. I just wasn't that into it this year.
Yeah, once maybe things settle down on the home front, I'll look forward to next year. We'll see. All depends on how that goes. But I'm about at my destination here. I'm 2.7 miles away, so I know that's going to go pretty quick. So I'll say 73 on your final. Go play with your new radio. KCKGO.
All right, very good. Catch you later. Stay dry. AVPR.
N8HLY, N8HLY, N8ASD.
Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Cloudy. 80 degrees.
W3LNS, W4XED.
The National Weather Service has cleared all products for our area.
I take it you're finally going into work? Sounds like you got something backwards.
No, I'm heading home. Oh, man! Glad today's over.
Yep. Any rain on your side of town there by the office? Because we just had a bit of a downpour here, not a power shower, and then it stopped, and looks like we may get another shower with a little bit of lightning in it later on, according to radar. But after that, we should be smooth sailing all the way through towards the weekend.
No, not a drop up here yet. Although if it just blew through there, it could be a few minutes off here, but... Basically, high and dry. Doesn't really look like anything's looming, but you never know.
Okie dokie. The sun was out a little bit while this rain came through. It only lasted about 10 minutes. And, you know, I have yet to clean my door wall glass because every time I want to clean it, it's going to rain like... within 24 hours, so then, all right, I'll let it go. And I'm looking out at it now, and it's just a mess. You know, it's got fresh rain on it, and it's like, will I ever get this door wall clean this year? I don't know. Anyhow, Yeah, I'll tell you one thing about that Butterburger. It filled me up. I was carrying the bag in. She said, did they forget to put something in the bag? Nope. The burger, the fries, and a Oreo concrete mixer thing. Oh, my God. I'm stuck on the couch, and I can't get up. I got stuff to do. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Their food's pretty good. They got a pretty good... I don't know if they still have it anymore, but they had a pot roast sandwich and a pot roast dinner you get. And then they also have pretty good fish. So they got a few things on the menu that are out of the ordinary. And but the burgers are good. And, you know, and then if you want to get some of the ice cream stuff, they got a pretty darn good ice cream selection. I don't partake, but my wife has a few times, and I know people do in fact love their Culver's ice cream treats. So they got that going for them too. Well, except for the main entree being a burger instead of fish, I did have, an Oreo concrete mixer instead of a pop or a shake or something. Yeah, I'll try one of these, and, you know, like I said, I haven't moved much after I ate that thing. I mean, I was just surprised that, you know, the guy from DoorDash hands me the bag, there was like nothing in it. Felt like nothing, and the concrete mixer, medium size, had more weight to it than what was in the bag. But I was surprised, and the order was made perfectly, right amount of, you know, the toppings were right on the burger. Burgers were well done. I mean, everything, and there was even my one packet of so they got the order accurate, too. I left them a nice compliment on their DoorDash webpage, so it is what it is, but, yeah, tomorrow I got a little bit of a rough early morning. I've got my cardiology thing, which I'll probably blow now after eating that burger, but, that's at 8, and then at 9 o'clock, inspectors are coming through for the city of Madison Heights, and they start at 9. So after they're done, I'm done for the rest of the week, and that's about it here on this end, because my Thursday stuff has been canceled for the holiday, and that's about it here. Just taking it easy. Well, sounds good. I think I'm going to take Wednesday off, so I got to work Tuesday, Thursday. Taking Wednesday off. It's my son's regular day off. He's working today and Thursday. He's got tomorrow off, too, but he said his weekend's Tuesday, Wednesday. But he's got a pretty full schedule, things he's got to do on Tuesday, so I'm going to take Wednesday off, and he and I got some things we got to do. So that'll be good. Be better if it were Thursday than I'd have an extra long weekend, but I don't know. Work a day, off a day, work a day, off 3 days. I can live with that. Oh, yeah, definitely nothing wrong with that. That's good. Wednesday, it's going to be 87. 20% chance of rain, which is minuscule, if anything. So, yeah, you should have a good day for the two of you to spend time together and get stuff done, for sure. And, you know, I can't complain about that at all. So, but, yeah, stuff like Thursday and Friday, whatever activities you're here on Friday. I think the only thing going on Friday is Friday night bingo night, but that's about it. I mean, doctors or medical things coming in, they're not coming in Thursday or Friday, so. Got my chiropractor in this morning. I screwed up my back. I'm still sore from Saturday. I mean, I was hurt Friday night, Saturday there at breakfast. And that was part of the reason why I was planning on doing some walking to help loosen it up. Nah, chiropractor today messed with it a little bit and told me to take some ibuprofen or something. I don't take that stuff. I just take Aleve. That usually works the best. So I pop some Aleve, and it's starting to work itself out. Yeah, I hear people say that all the time. They're back-fasting up, and they're
chiropractor going to do this or do that. And I often wonder, I have a back issue. I have no idea how a chiropractor could help me. I know what it is, too. It's got degeneration between, like, L5 and S1. And it's the between those two is pinched. There's a nerve that gets pinched. And when it gets pinched, there's just anything you can do except for get it unpinched. And then, but I wonder. I know the pain can be so bad sometimes I can't walk. Ugh. Getting up and getting down. I'm just wondering, when you say your back's jacked up, what, you know what's causing it? I mean, the real cause, and what's it feel like, and what do you got to do to get through it?
Original injury to my back was when I was like 18, 19. I fell backwards and I landed on one of those concrete curb stones and did some damage right where your spine connects to your pelvis. That was the original injury. And over time, doing the silly stuff that I did, play hockey, work in a meat plant, you know, Farmer Jack's, all that stuff, twisting, bending, and everything like that, over the course of time, it just got aggravated. I did not see a chiropractor until I had met a doctor. Well, I was first started with Verizon in around 2000, 2001. And he told me my back is subflexed, meaning if you take a towel and you bring it out vertically, you're twisting it. That's what my back was doing. And I was like, my hips were like obviously a couple of inches off square over my shoulders. And if you look at me from the side, one shoulder was forward, one shoulder was back. So I was like a twisted pretzel.
Okay. So what's that feel like when it's acting up, quote unquote, and how do they fix it?
Well, the doctor that I see now does not use a table for my back because of my age. And this being a senior center, he uses an activator. He'll still put me down on a flat table, but he uses this little thing that looks like a hypodermic needle. Obviously, there's a needle not on the end, but a rubber thing, and he can adjust the impact pressure and move my spine around as I'm laying flat on the table on my stomach. That's like a surface plate, and just slowly work it around and work it back. Sometimes he does actual manipulation where he does bend you and twist you, but he doesn't like doing that. Because of people's age now, when you get over 60, you shouldn't be going through the table stuff that you see, in videos and stuff. And he just slowly eases it back and does some pressure on my lower back, and then above it and below it, above my back, he'll pop it physically, pop it, you know, below the belt line, and just basically just pops everything back into place. But then the subluxation, that is usually a muscle thing or a muscle reaction to it, and that just has to work itself out. It's part of the reason why I take 2 hot showers a day. It helps loosen everything up.
All right. Well, that doesn't seem anything. That's mine's quite different. So I just don't know. Generally, I wait. It'll eventually get better. Although the lap gets a little bit more frequently in my old age. Used to be very few and far between. And if you now coming a little bit more frequently, then the lap takes a lot longer. So I don't know. Eventually, you have to go see somebody. But it's good now. That's all I know.
I still sleep on the floor once in a while, just to, like I say, like a surface plate, and I will sleep with a pillow underneath my knees, and I compress my lower back, again, waist level, belt level. That small, the back, I just try to compress it in flat on my back, and it helps me a lot. But I'm not really a generally back sleeper in bed. And I have a semi-firm, well, my mattress is firm with a pillow top on it. So that just hardness out of it. But, I've just been dealing with it since, like I said, I was 18, 19 when I originally heard it. And as a youngster still playing hockey and swinging around side to beep, I just didn't do what I should have done. And now I'm paying for it in my old age. And I have moments where it even affects my balance, and that's part of physical therapy. You know, it helps me with my balance control and things like that. And you see me in the restaurant get out of that chair, and I don't move so fast right away because there's numbness or pain down one side of the leg. And I got sciatica issues. I'm just a mess, but I'm still not using a cane. I'm still not using a walker or a rollator or anything like that. So that's the things I'm trying to avoid. Maintain balance and functionality. Okie dokie. Anywho, I'm going to call the wife here and see if she has me going shopping, because I don't feel like going home, getting comfortable, and then going back out. I'm going to call her and find out if there's a grocery list so I can stop. I guess if I'm going to stop, I'm going to do it in about 2 miles. So I got 2 miles to figure this out if I'm making a stop. I'll be back in a few. WFT. Okay. Hope that goes well. W8RCY. We'll be listening, monitoring, actually sandbagging on the couch. Well, too much on the list. I'm going to go home, change into something more comfortable, get my car, and then go do the shopping. Well, being comfortable and out of your work clothes, your office clothes, yeah, that could make a big difference and be more relaxing. That's what I would probably do. Do it that way, be more relaxed and, you know. But then again, back in the day when I was married and working for Farmer Jack's, going to the grocery store was like a trip going from the meat department out the front door. You got all these aisles you got to go up and down in between. So there was a disadvantage of working in the grocery store because the ex would call me and say, "Why you're on your way home?" Or, yeah, all right.
Did you get that POE ejector?
According to Amazon, it's supposed to be here between 3 and 6, and I have not gotten a notification that it was delivered yet, so I don't think so.
Carry on, then you go to the store. Keep it up, Javier.
I thought by now you'd have ran me one down and hand-delivered it.
I don't have anything.
Excuses.
Why, you had to dump water in that one we give you. Maybe that didn't come through. I said, I don't know why you had to dump water in that one we give you.
It was awfully hot out, and I thought the cables were dehydrating. So I was just looking out for their well-being.
Wow. Hey, Tyrion, I didn't want to interrupt your...
Well, I did.
Anyways, just up here by Kyle, head for Midland. Keep it up, Samir.
Roger. No, I'm just BSing on the way home. Just trying to decide if it... My wife had... I knew she had some groceries, but I figured if it was a small trip, you know, 3-4 items, I could stop on the way home. But
the list is long enough to where I don't feel like I'm driving. I'm not going to write it down. She could just put it on the app, but I'd rather go home and change and get comfortable and then go out. So that's all we were chatting about. Nothing important.
Shining up here, but out by Ollie there, it looked like you were going to get a pretty good storm going through there. Actually, it did rain, but the pavement's dry and sunny here. And it's sunny, I should say.
Rain came through the area I'm driving into right now, within a couple of miles where I'm at right now, but everything is absolutely, completely dry. So if you were trying to convince me it rained at all, I would not believe you. But then again, it might not have rained right here. And I haven't seen a drop all day, so it looks like just little squall here or there just pops up, that's all.
Be shifting, and it's gonna, this one that's coming in about an hour and 45 minutes or whatever, it's coming out of the northwest, and I'm watching storms up towards Saginaw, Flint, Bay City. They're starting to take a dive towards us here in the metro Detroit area, so that's kind of crazy what's going to happen there.
Yeah, well, I got nothing going on outside, so that's okay by me. Just Wednesday, I got some work to do around the house, but not much of it's outside. Got to put in a gas valve near the inlet box for the new generator, so I got a little gas work to do. 99% of it is all inside. And then I got to kill gas to the house, and then I got to clean up some gas pipes. So that's Wednesday's project. Ah, well. All right, I am turning into the subdivision. I'm going to clear out of here and then be back out here in a while as I make the grocery pilgrimage. W8FU, after yours.
Sounds like you might get a little gassy. Talk to you later. Yeah, the sunshine here. You can see the clouds building, though. It's pretty cool to see the storms. The overshooting tops. And it's definitely building. The sun, sunshine is building up the atmosphere. KBNSWR.
Sorry, gentlemen. Have a good afternoon. Jeff, you're still on the road, and you're seeing that stuff come. Be safe. Be careful. W8RCY, we are clear.
Hey,
Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Sunny. 78 degrees.
Hey, Dylan.
Good evening, 1800 hours. Sunny, 79 degrees.
NAPDF.
Good evening, 1900 hours. Partly sunny. 81 degrees.
KS8EDQ, Hilo Fox 8, Echo Delta Quebec.
AE7KJ.
Good evening, 2000 hours. Mostly cloudy. 79 degrees.
KS8. How is everyone this evening?
Website in a minute. I see they just built the monster. Actually, they repurposed. I ain't been in this building in Warren, 9 Mile.
Thank you. Good evening. 21 hours. Mostly cloudy. 76 degrees.
WDAKLO.
That and about $3 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Good evening.
Well, good evening, Sean. How are you, sir?
Nope, this is Brian, and I'm doing well.
Well, hello, Brian. WDAKLO, Greg.
And it was Sean, too. We must have doubled.
Must have. All right. Yeah, I'm up at the property, Greg, and enjoying this beautiful rainy weather we had today. Over to you, Greg.
Oh, okay. You're Gladwood area? I can't remember. Jack was telling me you're talking on a All-Star note. Sounds good if that's what you're doing.
Yep, over in the Clare area. And the host is gracious enough to let us stick our nose in with our All-Star hubs. Over to Sean.
Oh, I just wanted to jump in and say good evening. I just sat down here and get myself a beverage and maybe catch a TV program before I go to bed. I always say that, but then I get down a YouTube rabbit hole and I spend the hour I had earmarked to maybe watch some TV doing that. But I just wanted to say good evening to Greg. But, Brian, you too. Enjoy your week. I'm going to jump out, though, and let you guys carry on. W8FU. Greg?
All right, Sean. Good hearing from you. I know the YouTube rabbit hole thing. I always get wrapped up in that. If it's not that, I don't do Facebook, but sometimes I'll get on there and fall down that rabbit hole. Yeah, so good to hear you. Brian, good to hear you too. I'm wondering where Mr. Celebrity is. I took him up to Flint, Jack there, and we stopped by the Flint, Genesee County swap and field day, and they were talking about him tonight on the net, saying that that he was literally a celebrity on the GMRS side.
Well, to be very honest, Greg, when I first got on, and I had my license a while, but I wasn't on a lot. And then I got on more and more, and listening to Jack and his sales pitch, he has to have stock or ownership or something in Nagoya, because, boy, he really pushes those Nagoya 771s. And I used to just sit there, and my wife would look at me because I would do the not a Rubicon affiliate link below motion when he would say that. She got to understanding and laughing when I would do it.
Yeah. My better half listened to me when I first started on GMRS back in January and kind of, you know, talked to Jack as my first contact and stuck with him for a while, and we finally just met in person. What a great fellow he is, I tell you what.
Oh, he is. He's a great guy. But, yeah, no, like I said, I think he was one of my first contacts as well. And get to go to breakfast with him when Saturdays roll around and I don't have to work or whatnot. Yeah, he's got a big heart and he's just a heck of a guy.
Yep, that is very true. Yeah, the guy's in the Flint area up here, a couple of the guys that have been on GMRS, you know, these guys have been on AM for years, for 40 years, and when they heard it was Jack from, you know, his call sign 488 and all that, boy, they come running over there talking to him.
Well, I'll have to definitely ask him about that. But yeah, you know, with the way he speaks, he called into the East Coast Reflector the first time after he got his ticket, and they kept getting it wrong. They would put it in as KFADIC because the way he says it. And told him the next time I saw him, it says, "Dude, you gotta either give it phonetically or do your Detroit Rock City thing." So now it got to the point where he's been out there enough times, they get it right. But and he always throws it out there, call signs twice and slowly, and he gives out the first time, and the second time it's always Detroit Rock City.
Yeah, just drag my feet there in case he was out there. Yeah, he's going to be a celebrity on that East Coast Reflector now, too, for sure. So, anyways, good hearing you out there. We'll probably get out of here for now and maybe chat with you later, Brian.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sitting out on the front deck having an adult beverage, just enjoying the beautiful evening. And we're going to sit here and take it in, 73 to you, Greg. Give you a call here or on the other one when I can hit Mayville. And we'll talk at you later. KF8CWF, I'll be standing by.
Okay, Brian, take care. Have a good time up there. Enjoy it. WDAKLO, I'll be clear.
Good evening, 22 hours, mostly cloudy, 75 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours, mostly clear, 75 degrees.
NAWT, EAP. NAWOG, who's ever out there, you're breaking up pretty bad.
Yeah, EAP, I'm hearing the same thing over here.